The king is coming. Interesting. My wife is smiling big because I'm going to talk about, behold, he cometh. Who knew that this guy was going to request this woman to sing my sermon today? Well, the Lord knew that for sure. So thank you, but thank you, Lord. And he is going to come back. But before he comes back, he's going to appear in the clouds and get the church out of the way so he can finish his business with Israel. And that's called the rapture and then the seven-year tribulation. Yesterday, there was a conference in Southern California, and my wife and I attended. But we did it through the technology of our phones and the newly installed internet at our cabin. And we enjoyed the first half of it yesterday morning and early afternoon, and we were both slept out at 3:30, so from 3:30 to 7 we listened to the rest of it today. And the name of the conference is Behold, He Comes. There's a ministry, Olive Tree Ministries, up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, who holds an annual conference each year on understanding the times we're in and how it relates to the Bible. And it's been held in Minneapolis area, in the Minneapolis suburb, for many years. But they couldn't hold it there this year because 5 miles of real estate have been burned to the ground 20 minutes from there, thanks to our culture and thinking they have the right to riot when they don't like what they hear. And the person who's headed this up for years, her name is Jan Markell. And I think your bulletin has, Lori put in a few website of ministries worth checking out, olivetreeviews.org. Folks, it is worth your time. I would encourage you to check it out. But as Jan says, that wasn't 5 blocks burned to the ground. 5 miles burnt, never to be rebuilt. So they want to hold the conference, but where do you hold a conference? Well, she is kind of officially handed the baton of the leadership of this annual conference to a pastor of a man in, what's the name of the church, dear? Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. A man named Jack Hibbs, thank you. Jack Hibbs. Solid in his theology, which is what you want first. Solid in his theology, and they held the conference at their church. And it essentially is focusing on prophecy, what's coming, why it should, when it will, and what we should look for as we get close to those significant events. And I would suggest, as even they did yesterday at that conference, that right now is likely the most exciting time to be a Christian on this planet, other than the days when Jesus walked on it. Because right now, there is biblical prophecy being fulfilled on this planet right now. And that's exciting. And let me say this up front in case I forget to say it. Biblical prophecy should never scare the person who's born again, ever, because they won't see the harshness. They'll be in the Lord's presence when he finishes his work. For the person who's not born again, it should scare you to death, or at least scare you to turn to Jesus Christ. With all of that said, what I'd like to present to you today is just a few highlights from that yesterday. I mean, I was prepared with Ezekiel, but boy, I got, as my wife's heard me say, If that conference doesn't fire you up, your wood's wet. And it fired me up. So I would like to present to you some truths that they're supported with Scripture, and I will provide Scripture. The front end of the conference started off with such a bang. That's be the bulk of what I present to you today. And then the very tail end of the conference had some very encouraging words to leave us with this morning. So let me pray. And if you're a note taker, I hope your pencil's sharp. And I'm going to share some notes today. Father, thank you for your goodness today. And thank you that things truly are falling in place. And by your grace, we get to watch. And so with the promise of eternal life and the promise to be taken out of the way before you finish what you've started, it's with gratitude I say, come Lord Jesus. Because we know you're coming. And for us who are born again, we need ears to hear. We need to be informed so that it will give us purpose in the years we have left. So thank you for this morning and the words of those who have gone before us in Jesus' name. Amen. The conference began, there was five or six speakers total. It began by Jan Markell, who has historically led this conference. She presented 10 of what could be 100, quite frankly, signs of the end times coming. Signs that are right before us, that behold, he comes soon. And said, things are not falling apart. They are falling into place. But I would even add, while I believe that's true, they are falling into place, it can be difficult as things fall into place. Can be challenging, can be painful. It might even cost something, even for the individual believer, until the Lord decides it's time to remove him. But we will never see that 7-year tribulation. Well, let me say it this way. If the believer sees it, he's seeing it from the comforts of heaven. He will never experience it, period. But with that said, everything necessary for that stretch of time to happen is what seems to be falling into place. Can I give you 10 this morning? Because I got 10 yesterday and they're good. Number one is this. Evidence that, behold, he comes quickly, soon, is this. And it's sobering. The decline of America. Many ask, where is America in the Bible? It isn't there. It's just not there. Which means it either must be overtaken or neutralized to have no impact. But the decline of America. Folks, there is something coming that's called the New World Order. A one world government's getting close. And America's not. If we are, we're perceived as not that. But we are not the world leader we once were. And folks, last month, we took a great big step down from that place. We really did. So, you know, some ask, "Did what happened in Afghanistan, was that just bad timing, bad planning? Was that a deliberate thing?" Folks, I don't think things like that happen accidentally. And I don't want to ever get too political, but I'm going to say something, and you can like this or not. Even Joe Biden can't make that big a mistake. That wasn't a mistake. That's on purpose. That's my opinion. Nothing in the Bible that says it, but that's my opinion. And some would say that America is never coming back. But I'd say this, Jesus is. And that's a real good place to put our confidence. Whether or not we continue to decline and become no more is a secondary issue, because somebody is coming back, and it is Jesus Christ. That's exciting, right? Right. That's very exciting that he is coming back. Number two, if you're taking notes, it's a rush to global government. Now, if you've watched news, you recognize that there was somebody who got in the way of that for 4 years. It was the most recent former president. He got in the way, and the world hated his ever-loving guts. There is a rush to global government. This World Economic Forum, if you've never heard the name Klaus Schwab, you're going to. He's largely the front man of this World Economic Forum, of what has often been called the Great Global Reset, is a phrase that they have used along the way. In fact, some are even saying you have the pulse on this movement and recognizing. And by the way, you can Google and read it. This is all hidden in plain view, if you will. It's easy to find, easy to read, easy to stay up on. Some are saying that in early 2022, they'll finish the final details of it. Let me read to you. Revelation 13, 7 and 8. It was given to him to make war with the saints and overcome them, and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone whose name was not written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. Now, make no mistake, and I think we all understand this, and I sure want to be clear because it's very easy to be misunderstood. You can't place a timeline. The next event to happen, known as the rapture, is often referred to as imminent. And that simply means next. Some might say the rapture of the church is close. Well, it might be. But we do know it's imminent because based on the prophecy of the Bible, which the Bible is 27% prophecy. You don't talk about prophecy, you're dumping more than a quarter of the Bible. And if we're called to understand the whole counsel of God, that's a big part of the whole counsel of God. For this to happen, those who watch and those who see it, you know, think about what this coronavirus pandemic did, as some call it a plandemic. Think what it did. The whole planet, in less than a 12-month span of time, got financially kicked in the guts. The whole planet. Now, that's not the catalyst for the tribulation to begin, or I know I wouldn't be here. But I would say this World Economic Forum, who's seeking to establish a global government, need a crisis to get something like that started. Can't just gradually move into it. They got one. Got us all scared. And I don't want to be insensitive. We all know people who have died from this coronavirus. But we've been trained to believe. Statistics bear out, but they don't make it to the news very often. 99% of people who get it survive it. We've been trained to think we could die at any moment. Of course, we need to take caution. Caution is wise. But we're being trained to think we need rescued. We're vulnerable, aren't we? We're very vulnerable. A third one, similar to the second one, is this. Government overreach. Government overreach. It's a fear-based thing, if you will. In other words, the crisis is indeed needed. Safety, for many, has become more important than liberty. As somebody said in that conference, if George Washington and Samuel Adams could rise from the grave and start talking to us Americans, they would think they were in another country, based on where we are today. So if there is a government overreach, and we're susceptible to it, and we begin to believe it and trust in it, eventually it gets bigger, and we trust it more. And it gets bigger, and we trust it more. And all of a sudden it's a one world government, and we trust it more. And eventually Scripture talks about a one world government ran by one, known as the Antichrist, of which we'll obey him. You're a believer, you won't see that. But the time leading up to it is tribulation-like for some places. Not here, it's here, but in some places like Afghanistan, they are experiencing persecution like they never have now. Tough. And while we don't like our rights being stepped on, if we were honest, in spite of the things that are driving us nuts, I bet they'd trade places with us right now, if we were honest. A fourth one is simply this. Creation groans, or in other words, the birth pangs of the end times, that they will intensify. And some will begin to say that the reason this is all happening is because of you and me. You, anybody here drive a good old pickup truck that needs a tune-up? And boy, I've got one that's getting worse by the hour right now. And the more I drive that, I'm to blame for destroying the planet. How about that? Isn't that interesting? The way we live our lives, we are told we are the cause of all of these extra storms, all of these extra this, all of these extra that. You know, I didn't look them up yet, but I'm going to. But there are somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 verses in the Bible that says God is in control of the weather. How about that? You know, they got some nerve thinking we're all that we could take this globe and destroy it. Really? Are you kidding? Wow. We can't destroy this planet. Only God can. Says he will, by the way. He'll destroy it and put a new one in place where righteousness will dwell. You know, some say that, I don't know, maybe I've mentioned this, maybe I haven't, this issue of the Big Bang. We've all heard it, it's been taught, the Big Bang theory. I believe it. I just don't believe it's happened yet. You read 2 Peter, it talks about a day when the earth will be destroyed with intense heat. There'll come a point when God will destroy it. I'm of the opinion, and it's a, I'll call it a conviction, not just an opinion, that one day, when Colossians says he holds all things together, you know what happens when you start separating atoms? They blow up. Can you imagine if God decides, I'm done holding it all together? Guess what? Big Bang Theory is going to happen. Just hasn't happened yet. It's my opinion. I won't take a bullet for it, but it's my opinion. And no, I don't believe the evolutionary thing called the Big Bang. I don't believe that in the least. The next one. Lawlessness. Rising spirit of the Antichrist. Let me read from 2 Thessalonians, wonderful text, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. We request of you, brethren, regarding the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, there's the rapture, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us, to the effect that that day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Matthew 24. You know, there's some times when preachers just need to shut up and read. Because God doesn't promise to bless my word, he promises to bless his word. So more of him sometimes is better. Always better. Matthew 24, verse 12. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. Grow cold. Folks, the church needs to wake up. We need to be informed. None of us likes the heavies that's going on in the world right now. But it's events leading up to a significant event. In fact, some have even suggested, you know, when Jesus says nobody knows the time, only God himself knows. Not even the Son of Man. Only God himself knows the time. Which would mean Satan doesn't know either. Which would mean if he's had an Antichrist ready, could it be he's had one ready all through history, but it wasn't God's time? Now, I don't know if that's true, but since he doesn't know, I bet he's ready. Are we ready? Are we ready? Number six, the rise of Romans 1 mentality. You may know where I'm going with that. The delusion and the perversion of the homosexual agenda. Now, I know I'm on camera, and I know anybody could watch this. My intent is not to insult, but my intent is to say it like it is, because we need that. Romans 1 says their hearts will become dark. They will become fools. A debased mind and filled with all unrighteousness. And then those four very penetrating, horrible words. God gave them over. Now, when I read that, I also read in my own mind, it doesn't say God gave up on them. But if this is where they go and won't be turned away, he backed up and let them. God gave them over. A lot can be said. A lot has been said. Perhaps a lot more needs to be said. But the Romans 1 mentality is a hard, hard drive, not only in our world, but in our society. The striped rainbow flag was flown at the American embassy in Afghanistan. I'll bet you they won't put up with that. Now, I don't support Islam in the least, but I'll tell you this, they won't let that happen over there. The next one, technology and artificial intelligence. Now, I'm perhaps the least qualified person in the room to talk about technology. I kick and scream and fight against it as much as I can, and I get a hold of what I need to do what I need to do. 24-hour surveillance. If you have a cell phone, and I don't have mine on me, we're watched and heard all the time. I trust you know that. The technology in a cell phone, listening to you. My wife and I tried an experiment a few months back. She didn't even know where I was going. Sitting in the living room up in Belton, and I said, hey, that church called looking for a pastor up in Detroit. And I'm very tempted to take it, because now I can finally get those Detroit Lions season tickets I've been wanting to get since I was a kid. So I think I'm going to call back and tell them I'll take it. And we look into getting, you know, getting moved up there. And she's... So I... Go with me here. So she, really? Oh, good. Finally. That's your, you know, so the conversation, within 48 hours, I had floating ads on my phone for moving trucks. So just to let you know, if you don't already know, you're being heard regularly. So every so often, stop and say the gospel into your phone. Just say it. Just say the gospel. And if you're not sure how to say it, what a great way to practice. Because you're practicing on eavesdropping bad side of the culture. And they can hear it. And then there's this thing called the giant. Anybody ever heard of the giant? Wow, this was new to me. It's being billed as the world's tallest moving structure. Brand new to me. Had never heard of it before. Some would say, well, this clearly isn't, but we have the technology in place to potentially have the images needed on a grand global scale. Who knows? Number 8, wolves among the flock. Churches are becoming woke. What does that mean? It means a lot of things. But right along with this thing called critical race theory, churches are being overrun with everything comes down to skin color. Talking about you're too white. Guess what, Elkton Baptist Church? We're too white. We got to fix that. That's what they would say. Woke. Wolves among the flock. But it's not new today. It's been around a long time. Paul writes this in Acts chapter 20. Paul had left the area, had left Ephesus and would never be there again. And that was so heavy on his heart that when he was in Miletus, he asked for them to tell the leaders, tell the elders at Ephesus to come see me one more time before I set sail, never to come back. They did. They came. And he talks to them about the time he spent with them in the gospel. And then he says this, and you can read it in Acts 20, beginning at about verse 17. It's a wonderful text. But verse 27, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers of that flock in Ephesus, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Paul says this in verse 29, I know after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Paul didn't say this might happen. Paul said, leadership at Ephesus in the church, here's what will happen. you need to be on guard, because if they'll come from two places, in from the outside or up from the inside. That's what he says. Be on the guard for that. Is it happening today? Folks, it is abounding today. And there are a lot of ways, a lot of things, if you needed to know, how do you know if a church has gone there or not? We'll talk about that another day, because the list is pretty clear and a little convicting sometimes. Wolves among the flock. Number 9 of 10 is this: a hate of Christians, Jews, and the conservative. A hate. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, Paul says, "And indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Who's that written to? That's not written to every Christian. Let me be blunt as a spoon. That's written to the committed Christian who's not fearful to live the way I live. That's the one who will bear that persecution. Not the wallflower. Not the nominal. Not the one who won't do the right thing. The one who's not afraid to live godly in this world, right here, right now, will be hated by the world and persecuted accordingly. As for the Jew, as for the conservative. This current administration says, we're doing business with the Taliban. Really? Wow. I don't think so. There's a whole lot more I want to say, but won't on that. Afghanistan's not a 7th century country anymore, but the Taliban are. And they've got billions of weapons now because we left them there. In fact, one of the presenters, and it was in the news, I looked it up myself. Yesterday, Iran attacked with drones northern regions of Iraq where the Kurds are and where there's an American settlement. Yesterday, that leads me to believe they're testing the resolve of this administration, because they're seeing what we're seeing. They don't wear big boy pants anymore. They can be pushed around pretty easy now. And the 10th one, Mideast instability. We won't take the time to read it because we got to get us to Sunday school. But Ezekiel 38 and 39, take the time to read those two chapters. It sure does talk an awful lot about what's really close right now. I don't want us to be uninformed. I don't want any Christian to be uninformed. Now, I don't intend to scare anybody, but we are living, for the born-again person, a wonderfully exciting time. We're watching things fall in place, and that's exciting. Because if you're born again, you won't see the culmination of all of this. But I would want you to be ready and to be so captivated by what the blood of Christ did for you that if Steve went back and opened that door and let the fresh air in at the start of service, the mosquito flew in and stuck you in the neck and had a drink, he'd fly out of here singing, "There is power in the blood," he'd say. But how do you get ready? How do you get that ready? How do you get so ready? Is being ready being saved? Go like this. Of course it's being ready is being saved. But folks, it's more than that. Do you know that the believer will be rewarded for his faithfulness from the moment he's born again to the moment he faces God at the judgment seat of Christ that is reserved only for Christians. He'll be rewarded that day. And they will be based on how he lived well during his Christian life. For that nominal Christian, I would challenge them strongly. You've got a Savior who has died for you, spilled his blood for you. It's time to think about really living for him. Now, I'd like to think I do, but I might be my worst critic. I don't know. So I put together a little plan for me. Number one is this. I need to be in the Word more. Number two is this. I need to not take a nap when I can take a nap, so I can be in the Word more. Listen, I love to take naps. Anybody with me? I love to take a nap. But I've decided yesterday and today, I'm going to fight that. And I'm going to use that time, maybe not every time, but I'm going to start using that time to get that book open more. Got to find the time, not because I got to, because I want to. I want to know that book better, and the God who is of that book better and better and better. I'm biblical, and I say that unashamed. And I got biblical right after I was born again. But I got news for you. There's something tougher than being biblical. It's staying biblical. Pressure around us to compromise all the time. Getting there is one thing, staying there is another. You bury yourself in this book, you can't help but stay there. But you get to decide what it will be for you. Father, thank you that things are indeed falling in place. What an exciting time to think that we will experience the catching up of the saints in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. But until then, thank you for your word that has shown us what's coming. And as world events seem to be ready and ripe for a one world ruler, give us a sense of urgency that we would spend our years, our days, our weeks wisely. In Jesus' name, amen.